There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this good Friday, and a happy Easter weekend to all of y'all. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Phone, text hotline 343-0106. Lots to do on the show. Hey, coming up in hour number two, 50 years for the Dolphin Island Sea Lab. What a story. Kind of, you know, it's always been there in my life, but the story behind it, we'll do that in hour number two of the show. And, you know, we've talked about it this week when the announcement was made. You've had updates throughout the week on this story involving Baldwin County Public Schools and, in addition, Jefferson County Public Schools. A lawsuit against Juul and Altria, I think is the other company, for their role in what has been called the youth e-cigarette epidemic. I call it vaping. Maybe that's not the right term for it, but we're going to talk about this lawsuit that Baldwin County Schools is involved with. The law firm Beasley Allen taking the case for Baldwin County and Jefferson County Schools. And Joseph Van Zandt, who's first attorney on this case, is joining us now on Midday Mobile to talk more about it. Thanks for your time. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So let's go in, and I guess the retrospective here on how this comes to bear, because individual counties versus the entire state, all 67 county school system, how does that work? How do certain counties, can they just come to you as an individual school system, or how does that work, Joseph?
Yeah, sure. So it can be, it's not necessarily just by county. So it could be a city school system, a county school system, and even actually private schools. So in Alabama, our school systems are, you know, they're their own independent legal entities. And so, you know, they certainly have the right to retain private counsel and then to file lawsuits, you know, if there's a need like there is here.
Let's talk about the kind of the backdrop for this. So people have talked to, you know, watched the congressional testimony, talked about vaping out there. Has there been a ruling elsewhere that leads it to the school systems? Are you working off some other ruling, or is this kind of a first blush at this?
Sure. So, you know, it started off just as schools reaching out to us, reaching out to Beasley Allen, talking about how bad of a problem this is for them. And so the more we met with them and the more we talked, we realized that they had been, you know, uniquely impacted by this. So, you know, Congress has investigated it, as you said. And the federal court that's overseeing this litigation has already heard a round of motions to dismiss where Juul and other defendants were trying to get the school district claims thrown out based on legal arguments. And so the judge there has already ruled that these are legally valid claims and that, you know, the allegations that are made are valid, and that it was foreseeable that if Juul is going to make a product that's appealing to kids and they market that product to kids, that it's foreseeable that schools would have to face consequences of that action. And so right now, those claims have been determined to be legally valid. And the first trials that are scheduled for these cases are scheduled to begin in 2022.
I'm just joining us talking to Attorney Joseph Van Zandt with Beasley Allen, and they have taken the case here for Baldwin County and Jefferson County. Let's talk about this. So the court says, okay, these have standing, but you still have to prove what you just said, right? That Juul has made a product that was targeted to children, right? A lot of people say, well, it wouldn't, you know, you have to be 18 or whatever the age is to get this thing. How is this targeted to children any more than cigarettes or, you know, chewing tobacco or anything else?
Yeah, and that's obviously a key part of the case. And, you know, since since the original tobacco litigation and the master settlement agreement, tobacco companies have not been able to market and conduct certain practices. They've not been able to market, for example, on billboards, on radio, on TV, and especially on social media. And Juul took advantage of some loopholes that existed, and that those regulations that were designed to protect kids did not apply to e-cigarette companies. And so Juul went out. Their initial marketing campaign was massive billboards in Times Square, billboards all around the country. And the worst thing they did was target on social media. They ran ads with young, sexy, hip-looking people and targeted those ads on social media, knowing good and well that the tobacco companies could not do that because that's where if you want to market to kids, that's where you do it. And it wasn't only the marketing. It was the flavors, too. You know, if you're trying to get smokers to switch from traditional cigarettes to e-cigarettes, you don't need flavors like fruit medley or mango or creme brulee to make them do that. And it's been known. That's no surprise to anyone. Anyone in the tobacco industry, it's been known since the original tobacco litigation that flavors attract kids. And so when you look at their marketing, when you look at their flavors, and when you look at how they manipulated the nicotine in their products, it's clear that this was designed not for adult smokers, but for people who had never smoked.
I want to get back to some of those, but you talk about manipulating mm-hmm. the level of nicotine. That was some of the discussion around the cigarettes, right? I mean, that was in that litigation that the level. So what is your allegation? What did Juul or these other companies do with the? How do you manipulate nicotine to get kids or you know to do this?
Yeah, sure. So e-cigarettes existed before Juul was on the market. You know, they were these big box mod vapes, and they had these huge billows of smoke, and they never really caught on that much, were especially never popular among kids. And the reason is because the nicotine in those original vapes was free-based nicotine. Free-based nicotine is very harsh to inhale. So even an experienced smoker can really only inhale like up to 2 or 2.5% free-based nicotine before it makes them gag. I mean, because it is so harsh. And so what Juul did, and really there, you know, what it was a game changer. It really changed the entire e-cigarette industry. They figured out that if they mix free-based nicotine with benzoic acid, it reduces the pH level and takes away all the harshness of the nicotine. And so really it takes away your body's natural defenses and response to nicotine. So now someone who's never smoked a day in their life can pick up a Juul device that has 5% nicotine and take a deep inhale, and it goes down completely smooth. There's no throat hit. There's no harshness. There's no gagging. And so what happened, that basically took all the speed bumps away from nicotine addiction. I mean, it was like a fast pass to addiction. And so you have, you know, 13, 14, 15-year-olds who never smoked a day in their life, but they could pick these products up and smoke a whole pod within one day. And that's equivalent of 2 packs of Marlboro Red cigarettes worth of nicotine. And so, you know, with traditional cigarettes, it would have taken someone months or even years to ever be able to consume that much nicotine in one day. But with Juul, people are able to get a significant amount of nicotine in a very short amount of time, and the addiction really hits harder and faster than any other type of nicotine addiction ever seen before.
So let's talk about this. The kids made the choice, you're saying, based on the advertising, to even not transition from cigarettes to this, but just to go to vaping before that, right? Because these companies will say, hey, we're offering a better alternative to smoking cigarettes. But you're saying these kids weren't smokers first, they were vapers first?
Well, no. I mean, no. I mean, for the most part, I mean, obviously, there's both. But for the most part, kids were not using any products. So these are a lot of the Juul users, you know, started off with Juul. That's what got them addicted and got them to start using Juul. So certainly there are adult smokers who were smokers first that have switched to Juul. But the biggest concern here is the percentage of kids nationwide that were not using any nicotine products whatsoever, started using those because of Juul, and then have now become addicted. And yes, so anyone who picks up a Juul, whether they're, you know, 25 or 15, makes that decision to take that first puff. That's why there are very severe and strict regulations in place controlling what tobacco companies do. It's to make sure that these products are not appealing to kids. And, you know, over the last 20 or 30 years, those regulations, those laws have worked. And the rate of youth using cigarettes has been at all-time lows, nationally and here in this state. Unfortunately, Juul comes out in 2015 and wipes out decades worth of progress. And again, they did that by making vaping, they made it look cool. They made Juul through their advertisements. They made it look safe, made it look fun. And they were doing things that tobacco companies were prevented to do to make this product appealing to young people.
Now, next question is, you talk about these the young people that did it. Why isn't this a class action suit from all the underage smoker, the people got addicted, versus, like, why is the school system, why do they have a loss here, or do they have a something that they're suing for?
Sure. So it's actually both. I mean, so there are, Beasley Allen is representing over 1,000 individuals, young people, either minors or young adults, who are suffering from severe addiction. There are people having seizures, severe lung injuries already as a result of using these products. So that is one part of the litigation. And nationally, there are probably about 4,000 or 5,000 of those cases pending. Another part of the case are the school district cases. And school districts have been severely impacted by this. And, you know, and I'll just explain why. Obviously, you know, tobacco usage in school is something that has happened, you know, before. You know, when I was in school, if people were going to smoke cigarettes, they had to go behind the gym or, you know, find somewhere to go hide and smoke a cigarette. It was easy for administrators to find them and to catch them and to police that behavior. With Juul, that really became a lot more difficult. You know, Juul does not give off a smell, has a very small cloud of smoke. And so kids are able to use these in school. They use them in the bathrooms. They can even use them in the classrooms. When the teachers turn their head, they can take a hit of their Juul and blow it down their shirt. And so this has become incredibly difficult for schools to deal with. They're now dealing with, you know, at some schools, 20-30% of their population in schools using these products on campus. And so you're not only dealing with the health impacts that's associated with that, you're also trying to educate and keep the attention of a student body that is addicted to one of the most addictive chemicals on earth. And so it has really created a unique challenge to schools that has not been seen with other type of nicotine products in the past. Some schools have had to resort to installing vape sensors in their bathrooms at about $2,800 a pop. Some schools are having to hire extra security and monitors to monitor all the bathrooms all day long. There are increased suspensions of kids who get caught vaping, which then trigger superintendent hearings and trigger attorneys being present at those hearings. There are extra costs associated with trying to provide addiction and counseling services to students. I mean, so the costs really can add up the burden that has on the schools. And it's not just what they've paid. It's really what they need, the funds and resources that schools need to deal with a new substance abuse problem, to educate kids on that, to provide prevention measures, and to provide addiction counseling to those kids who do become addicted. Now, schools have not budgeted for these types of problems. They need assistance in doing this. And, I mean, we believe that this lawsuit is really about who's going to pay for the problem. It's not so much a dispute as to who caused the problem. I mean, Juul has acknowledged, its former CEO has acknowledged that it's responsible partly for the vaping epidemic. You know, one time they held 80% of the market. The question is, who's going to pay for the damage? Is it going to be Juul, or is it going to be the Alabama taxpayers? And we believe it should be Juul to do that.
And you've talked about Juul is a individual for people, though, and I may not be right, but they're a brand, right? There are other people that do, other companies that do vaping, right?
That's right. Yeah. So the technical name of the company is Juul Labs Incorporated, and you know they get, you know, Juul's another name, but it's also the name of their device and their brand. There are other vaping companies. There are other e-cigarettes, but Juul was really the game changer. You know, they've called themselves the iPhone of e-cigarettes, and you know, as I explained, they were the first company who figured out that you could make these what's called nicotine salts by mixing benzoic acid with free-base nicotine. So most of the other products you see on the market that you see other kids using have basically copied Juul's formula. No other company was doing that before Juul, and so you have all these other nicotine salt products on the market now, but they're basically copycats. And so there are other products, but it's still, Juul is still the most popular product among teens, and it's really the one that we believe has fueled this problem.
Speaking of the students or underage vapers, a lot of questions coming in on my text line. Michael asks, well, how do underage kids get the product?
Right, and that's a problem, and honestly, we're seeing things get a little better there. So at first, a lot of these kids were getting this product directly through Juul. They were able to purchase on Juul.com, and you know, there were what we believe was very, not very strong age verification requirements. So some kids have actually obtained this directly through Juul. Some kids at some point were able to obtain it through eBay and Amazon, as Juul was, we believe, were supplying those retailers. Other kids, you know, as we know, kids find ways to get things that they shouldn't have. And so, you know, there are certainly the situation where kids can get these from older students or can sometimes purchase them locally. That's happens with every type of product, unfortunately. The big thing we think is making sure that kids are not attracted and drawn to these devices, and they're not sold in kid friendly flavors and are not advertised directly to them. That's the biggest way to ensure that they are not going to get these products.
And that's kind of similar. I know this is not specific to the lawsuit that you're working on, but Larry and Atmore saying, well, Fruity Hard Seltzer does the same thing. Why are they not being sued?
Right. Well, that is a completely, you know, separate issue as far as, you know, we're talking about these products that are being marketed directly to kids. I'm sure if they were advertising this Fruity Seltzer and directing that towards kids and posting them on websites frequented by kids, I'm sure that certainly would be a problem.
All right. So how does this, Joseph, how does this go? So you talked about the 2022, you think this is in front of a judge, or kind of what's your timeline on that? And why, you know, why then, why, you know, kind of lay that out for us.
Sure. So these cases have been combined by the federal court system in front of one federal judge based out of San Francisco. Beasley Allen has been appointed by that judge to be one of the firms leading the litigation nationwide. And so this litigation has been going on for a little bit over a year already. And so right now we're engaging in discovery of Juul and reviewing internal company documents and taking deposition of key Juul employees. And, you know, there's a lot of discovery and briefing going on right now. The first, what will happen there in that court, they will do a series of test trials or what they call bellwether trials. So those are started to schedule in March 2022, and there will be a total of 5 trials next year. We believe that probably 2 of those trials will be personal injury trials. 2 of those trials will be school district trials. There could possibly be a county or a city trial, and then a class action trial for the consumer class. So in 2022, we should really expect to see, you know, a broad variety of these types of cases against Juul to go to trial. And Juul is not the only defendant. Altria is also a co-defendant. Altria is the parent company of Philip Morris, who in 2018 purchased a 35% share of Juul. And so they're a defendant in all these cases as well.
All right. Well, we will watch the news on this. I appreciate you coming on and laying out the case y'all are bringing on behalf of the Baldwin County School System. Joseph Van Zandt from Beasley Allen, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. There we go. So hopefully got some of the questions answered out there on Baldwin County being part of this lawsuit. What do you think? Look at the text line. Got a lot of text from y'all.